somewhere doing well with all of his trans ladies. Well, I make. Oh, damn! You will click. You will click live when I get to yell at
you. Oh, no, she said we was going live, nigga. You just kept talking.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. So,
how many times like you lied?
What'd you say?
I said it ain't like VJ lied. I mean, you know, nothing.
Yeah, it's true. I'm just more concerned. I just want his vocals to, like, you know.
Everybody's not coming back, sister. Let the dream go. Nobody's vocals are coming back. Mario has his still. Nobody's are coming back.
Right.
Maybe Sammy's.
Yeah, Sammy didn't really do that bad.
Sammy was okay. He was pretty. He was all right.
Which is surprising. Like, and the thing is, I didn't have, like, high expectations, but, like, I guess I didn't have any expectations.
Not really.
You know if that makes sense? Like, it's nothing against him, like, as a slight, but when he came out, he was, like, 11. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what expectations do I have for you as a singer when, like, you were popping at 11? Like, it's...
Real shit. That's like if Soul For Real dropped the album right now. We don't expect that shit to be hot. It might
be. Even recognize these niggas? Like,
I don't know what they look like. I wouldn't.
No, that oldest nigga Hakeem. That oldest nigga Hakeem probably got like a spotty beard and like is an alcoholic.
It's the fact that you know this nigga name for me.
Because I would know. I'd have been like, yeah, the Soul For Real dudes. I wouldn't have not known a single. Only
reason I know that nigga name is like back in the day, like every tall nigga in a group, and when you didn't know that nigga name is usually Hakeem. The tall nigga in High Five. I think his name is Hakeem. Tall nigga is So For Real. Hakeem. And it was another group that was like that.
Everybody's name is just Hakeem. Okay, well.
Hakeem
was one of them. It was a popular name back then. One of them names that ain't popular no more.
Okay.
Hakeem used to be popular.
Nothing's like Moesha for me. Like, I don't think I've heard that name at all.
I don't know nobody named Hakeem.
I've never met a Moesha in real life. That's a lie. That's a fucking lie.
You've met somebody named Moesha?
Yeah, I met her, she was a kid. I think she was born after the show came up.
Which is fucking bizarre. Hi!
I don't know. Autumn. My godson is named Jamal, which is, you know, a very innocuous name of himself, except for that his mother was obsessed with soul food.
Woo! Hey.
And that's why she named, because she was like, yeah. She's like, yeah, I want to name him Jamal. And I was like, okay. Like, like, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't good. And I was like, okay, girl. And then she was like, yeah, because I love soul food. And she was like, it's because I love soul food. And I was like,
oh. What's up, baby?
She could have went Miles and that would have been bad. Like
Miles. Wow.
Oh, you just in time, sister.
Because if Faith slept with the family.
Yeah, why my shit just go dark like that?
Faith fucked the family.
That's what it was. Faith fucked the family.
Say it with me.
No, we did an episode back in the day. Me and
don't
BJ
say it,
did
girl,
an
if you say it, I'm called, running.
The cousin Faith syndrome. Way back in the day, like in the Penrose versus anybody days.
Are you saying or you going?
That sounds interesting. Okay, so hi, guys. This is all docked up. I know it's been a while, but I'm hoping the faces stay familiar. We all were kind of doing our own little things. But we're back, and I'm super excited to be here with you guys. Chris.
That's DJ. Chris.
That's Penrose.
Yo, do we have a safe word for tonight? Or, I mean, a crazy word?
Not a safe word. I don't know.
That's a different podcast, sugar.
Right.
Maybe smash? I don't know. Like, we'll figure it out.
All right, but
figure it out. But guys, we are here to discuss a guy named Kai Barr, the hatchet wielding hitchhiker. And if you guys don't remember him, he literally smashed through the scene in 2013. Bars for me. Do you hear him? Like,
I see. Oh, you coming back in red form.
I think
that's what it was, a confetti word, right?
Or if we can rhyme, I don't know, we'll figure it out. But listen, okay, so if you guys don't really remember him, I'm gonna pull him up for a second and we're gonna play this clip. And we're just going to play this clip. Right. So this is the interview that started it all. No one had any clue who this guy was. And much like most viral videos overnight, right? Sensei.
Right.
One of the heroes.
Yeah. Can we talk to you? Do you mind?
What do you want to talk about?
What happened today?
Well, went straight out of Dogtown, skateboarding, surfing it up. Before I say anything else, I want to say no matter what you do, you deserve respect. Even make mistakes, skills, or anything, you're worth it. Nobody can ever take that away. Now, right, driving, and I was in the passenger side of this fucker's car, and he comes over on there. He was over by the recycling center. He says, oh, when I was in the Virgin Islands, 30 years old on a business trip, I fucked this 14-year-old. I was like, you what? He's like, I raped this 14-year-old, starts crying, gives me a big hug. He's like, fuck, 300-pound guy. I'm like, oh, shit. You must be fuckered, man. Like, what's he talking about? I didn't take him seriously at first. Comes driving down this way. He's like, you know what? I come to realize I'm Jesus Christ, and I can do anything I fucking want to. And watch this, bam, and he smashed into this fucking guy right there, pinned him in between that fucking truck. And so I hop out, I look over, the guy's pinned there. I mean, like, freight train riders know this. Like, if you get pinned between something, do not fucking move that shit, otherwise you bleed out. Like, motherfucker, I ran in, I grabbed the keys, he's fucking sitting there like nothing even happened. And like, fucking, like, man, if you started driving that car around again, man, there would have been a hell of a lot of bodies around here. Fucking, I hop on out, and so I grab the bag, I threw it over by that pole right there, and then fucking buddy gets out, and these two women are trying to help him. He runs up, grabs them, and a guy that big can see that. So I fucking ran up behind the hatchet, smash. Yeah.
The lady said you saved your life.
She was the one who got grabbed by that fucker. You know what? Fuck is cool. That guy ain't. I was hitchhiking. I was hitchhiking. Yeah, don't shake. What happens was, yeah, well, at least, dude, that guy was fucking cooked out, man. Like, he's beyond howling. Like, I don't even see any breath in him. You know what I'm saying?
Can I get your name and where you're from, if you don't mind?
I'm Kai.
Kai, can I get spelling for you?
Straight out of Dogtown, K-A-I.
K-A-I, do you have a last name?
No, bro, I don't have anything.
Where are you from originally? Are you from Fresno area?
Sophia, West Virginia.
No kidding. How old are you?
I can't call it.
Okay. What, have you ever experienced anything like today? And what made what? You take the actions that you did?
He can't call it.
That woman wasn't dating.
Right.
He just woke at the time killing somebody. And so,
experienced anything like that, Kai?
I was in an orchard, and this fucking guy starts beating on this woman who he calls his. So I walked on over and I started smashing him in the head. You see all these teeth marks right here for the camera? Yeah, I started smashing him in the head and in the teeth, busted out all his teeth. Motherfucking the sheriffs, not the policy enforcers, fucking show up and start like, they're like, yeah, so what happened? I mean, like, just give me any old name and just give me old fucking birthday, whatever, just... Yeah.
What happened today after the team? You're obviously free now, but were you arrested? What was the process? What did they do to you when they came out? Obviously, they found out that you did the right thing, but the time that from the accident until now, where have you been?
Well, he started following I. Like, I cleaned his motherfucking head wide open with a hatchet. He stood up like he was pulled right up, right? And like, fuck it, I'm like, bro, if you're fucking Jesus Christ, I'll be the Antichrist, man. Like, fuck that shit. And he starts following me off this way, so I figure I'll lure him right away from the crowd. So I'm running off this way. I got a hatchet in one hand, motherfucking this bag I'm carrying over with another hand. I start running off that way. And so a couple of the people who was bystanders to it came over and told me to stop. And I was like, why stop? They're like, the cops are already on their way. I was like, is he back up and doing anything? And somebody said that he was like masturbating in front of his school or fucking whatever this place is right here.
After the hatchet? Yeah.
Why? Police, were you taken into custody? What happened? I mean, obviously.
I was put into the back of the sheriff's wagon. Wasn't the policies the fucking pulled I over? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So like, yes. I got put in the back of the sheriff's wagon. The sheriff was like, what happened here? Took down a statement. I told him everything I told you. And fucking. Let me on out, said I couldn't grab all this stuff until I had finished like they had finished with something, you know what I mean? And like brought me back on over here so I could be in front of this thing, like this fucking car right here. It's fucking gnarly, man. Holy shit. It's like the biggest wave I've ever ridden in my life.
Ever.
Somebody on that bus, that school bus, is like, yo, I passed that dude like 10 years ago.
If anybody's watching this somewhere else and got a mini mile that they could land the guy with a wet suit, I'd love to test out Mavericks.
Again?
Club him in the head with a hatchet? You know, if I could go back in time, I'd go back over to where I was at that recycling center and he said that he had raped that chick over in the Virgin Islands, because it doesn't matter where you at. You can fucking just spend a bunch of money and do whatever the fuck you want. You know, that's not right. If I could go back in time, I would have dabbed him up right there.
Damn.
No, you're not. I mean, you doesn't seem like you have any concern for yourself.
Right.
I mean, doing the right thing and not even worrying about Kai first.
I don't have any family. Like, as far as anybody I grew up with is concerned, I'm already dead. So, whatever.
All right. That was that. I wanted to play the clip in its entirety because a lot of the stuff when we were first introduced to him, I don't think we got the whole thing, or we didn't see the whole thing. I don't remember seeing the whole thing, but
I don't remember seeing any of this.
I remember the slam. They were making like the auto-tunes and shit about it.
I've seen the video. What Kiki Palmer say? I am sorry to this man, baby, because I didn't know who the fuck he was.
Sorry
to this man. I had never seen that in my black ass life. Like, I was like, what?
Not even like picture, like, didn't like look like, oh, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, I remember, no clue.
I heard of that shit. Like, I saw the whole video to, like, when this shit happened. Of course, not like the day it happened or whatever, but yeah, I've seen the whole interview before. And for the life of me, it's always, even back then, everybody, do we all just gloss over the fact that in the middle of this nigga talking about what happened, he wholeheartedly admitted to what possibly was a whole nother murder? See these cars? Like, J-Bug.
Like,
it was weird. The whole thing was weird.
Yeah. It was weird. But I think, okay, so the general idea is that everybody kind of got swept up and the fact that he saved this woman,
right,
and technically saved this dude. He was paralyzed and shit, but he was saved, right? Or at least in a wheelchair for a while. So,
yeah, which I always thought was weird, because I'm sitting here and I'm like, I guess it's nice that he hit the dude with the hatchet or whatever, but the way they were making it sound, like, I don't know, like the way they're making this attack sound, I'm like, sister, you could have elbowed this man or something.
He was already on the
car. He was a big dude. And he was like bear hugging her from like the back, like trying to squeeze her to death or some shit. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. What if her elbow game really ain't like that?
As a person who has short arms, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe like if a nigga hold me like that, I can't even like, I don't know. Maybe I don't know.
I do have T-Rex.
Anyway.
Yo, why was I
lady was very thankful to Kai, so.
You should have T-Rex arms. Like, you have T-Rex arms around. You know, good for
us. We all from the Midwest. Y'all happen to be from Chicago. I happen to be from Detroit. We all know niggas. I happen to be a nigga. I don't know nan nigga ever just walking around the hood with a hatchet in his backpack.
Well, that's because we're not a homeless person.
That's terrifying. That's terrifying to think that it just be like niggas asking for rides and also carrying extremely deadly weapons. Right.
which the director of the person doing the interviews for this said, she was like, you didn't find it odd that he had a hatchet? And he was like, not that you say that.
Right.
Like, this nigga just smashed.
Nobody really was talking about the fact that he just randomly had a hatchet at the ready.
And used it on a nigga that was giving him a ride.
Right.
Yeah, like he couldn't have punched him or nothing. Just hatchet to the back of the head. Just
hatchet.
I mean,
he used the back of the hatchet for the first two times, but the third one, he was like, that big smash, then he fucking hit him with the blade part.
Hate that. terrible.
So do you want to get into some background into like who found Kai, who the person was giving the interview, all that stuff like that, right?
Hello,
y'all's friend is here.
Right.
Hello, co-host. I'm glad she got the memo we were back.
She heard me. She learned a new trick. She's learned to shake for treats. And so she thinks
she's going to have to get her. Can dogs have gummy worms?
She's not getting any. She thinks she's getting
some. Oh, okay.
That's why she's giving me her paw that I didn't ask for, because she thinks she's getting food.
So my mind is always in the gutter. And I was about to be like, that's disgusting. And then I had to realize I was talking about candy.
Never mind. Okay. Thank you. Get out.
Come on.
Like, do something.
There's somebody in the comments that's got a gummy worm or two before.
BJ, would you like to get into some background?
Raise your hand if you've got a gummy worm, anyway.
Oh, don't.
There you go. You have a seat. You're doing a lot. Sit down.
Don't do that.
No, thank you. None of that.
At least there were no sour gummy worm.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Just okay. That's enough. That's enough. What background do we get? Do we want to start with chronologically, or do we want to learn about this man?
Let's just go chronologically how the documentary kind of lays everything out. So we can start talking about, like, because this happened in Fresno, February of 2013. And then let's just talk about, like, Jessup and, like, let's just go chronologically, I think.
Okay. Well, this opens, we sit with Jessup Reisbeck. Jessup is a name, certainly.
It is a name, girl. I was like, are they saying it wrong?
TV name if I've ever heard one.
That's the town out here. So when I heard it, I was like,
Jessup is a place, it's like a town.
Yeah, Jessup, Maryland. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So Jessup he's a news reporter in Fresno. He normally does sports, but they're short staffed. So they send him basically on the scanner, he hears about a wreck. And so he's like, and they're like, yeah, it's real bad. It's a guy pinned between the cars. And of course, Jessup hops in the car and is like, yeah, story time. And like hauls ass to this crash site, which is a whole different situation in itself. But we'll never talk about that. So what it is that basically this guy has driven his car into the back of another car, well, a utility service truck for PNG. And he has smashed
that, like, the electric company or some shit, probably.
I think so. Some type of service, water, electric, I think electric. But he basically sandwiches a black electrical worker between the truck and him in the car. Mm-hmm. And he gets out and he's screaming about Oh, it's pickles. I was like,
No, it's not pickles. They're not pickles.
What is that? What's happening?
Some nigga shit.
What is he? Mm-hmm. What is it?
What is it? Okra?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That takes me back. Girl, you can't have this. Get back.
All I need is some boiled peanuts. And like,
I've never had boiled peanuts.
They're interesting.
You're missing out.
It's like, are they moist? Like, I don't understand. Like, are they wet? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah. So it's like, imagine the hard shell of the peanut just being like extremely like tissue soft.
And then you still gotta like crack it.
Yeah, I mean, you just either squeeze
it like an edamame.
You squeeze them out.
Either squeeze it out. Well, you know, some people
just nigga edamame is what I'm hearing.
Yes, and then some people will boil them and then take them out of the shell and then put them in a Coke, bottled Coke.
Oh, baby.
I'm sorry. Listen. Like an empty bottle? Listen.
No, full coat.
Nah, in a coat.
I don't understand what y'all saying. Listen,
it's a throwback to slavery, like everything in life is.
My Fridays used to be.
Wait, are you eating Tabitha Brown's pickle okra?
I didn't even know Tabitha Brown had her own pickle okra.
That's news.
I've been eating my fucking Mount Olive pickled okra since I've been
6 years old. Mount Olive, because that's the only brand that matters. The pickles, the okra, the jalapenos, because that's what we buy by us.
Big facts.
So we used to eat boiled peanuts. Motherfucking the 32 ounce ice house. pickled okra, and motherfucking pig feet every Friday.
That's such a
quail eggs. Good as fuck, man.
I can't eat no more. What is happening, y'all? Like, these are things like I've never eaten any of.
You never had pig feet before?
No, for what? That's okay, like people.
So,
like,
admittedly, pig feet is a very southern thing. And
my family has made them. Like, I'm not eating that.
Like, I won't eat chitlins, but I suck a knuckle off a pig foot easy.
Not you sucking the knuckle. Your family from that south to Michigan pipeline for them GM jobs is real.
It's
right.
the Alabama
not air fryer
pipeline is wild.
Who is, you know where that nigga from, right? He's from Ohio. That's air why they say shit like that. What are you talking about? Listen.
Air fry.
Now that I thought about it.
I don't want the essence of pig feet stuck in my air fryer.
And who eats fried pig feet anyway?
The slaves ain't had no air fryer.
I didn't even know you could do that to them.
The slaves ain't had no air fryers. They ain't do that.
No convection ovens.
Oh my god.
A cast iron skillet in a dream.
Yo, you ever had cow's tongue?
And some vinegar.
Y'all niggas ever had cow's tongue?
No.
What happened?
Cow's tongue. Not a favorite.
Why would I have that?
Bye. You get down. Thank you. Could you?
I've seen it at the store. Like, isn't that the lengua?
Yeah.
You can't.
Okay. I don't want that.
You can't have it.
People making it to like tacos, right?
Yes.
Back in the day, that shit used to just get set on my plate like.
Like a tongue? No, nigga.
You gotta cut that bitch out of the motherfucking tongue. Wrong as shit.
Anyway, this man was pinned between these trucks. It was real dire. Anyway.
<Okay. laughs> I don't know how we got here.
I don't. Man, something about peanuts. So, anyway. Dude in the car, what is that? Jet McBride? Because I thought it was Jeff. And then the on-screen text at the end of the documentary said Jet. So I'm like, okay, Jet it is. So Jet McBride is the driver of this car who is smashed into this black person. And so they're saying that it is racially motivated, right? It's a hate crime. He gets out and he says he's Jesus and that the black people are taking over everything and we got to eradicate the black people. And these two women come to basically his aid. They see a crash. They don't know if this man is like, you know, some type of weird race war initiator with his car. Right. So they get out and try to come help as good Samaritans.
He's 6'4", 300 pounds. That's important.
And high as a kite. And gets out of the car. And the lady's like, hey, are you okay? Do you need medical assistance? And he was like, yeah, call the ambulance. But not for me.
Get over here.
I'm sorry, I'm not making fun of that poor lady's attack. But yeah,
yes, she's fine.
Okay, well then I am making fun of because she's alive.
We are the podcast that make fun out of everybody.
So she's fine, but he bear hugs her and is like choking her out, pulling her hair and shit, like. He's trying to like, I don't know what he, I don't know. And it was a weird way to start a race war. Like you try to murder a black man and then switch sides to also try to murder a white lady. I don't quite.
He saw a white lady coming to the rescue of a black man.
And he's like, oh, no.
She's a nigger lover.
Okay. You know what? That makes sense. Makes sense. And so then, he starts whooping her ass, and then, would you know, he has a hitchhiker in his car. The hitchhiker jumps out after they crash the truck and is like, oh, shit, dude. You hit somebody.
Right.
And he's like, oh, shit. I
hit you.
And he was like, oh, shit. Why are you hugging this lady and beating her and pulling her hair? So then that's when he gets out the hatchet.
And we get our famous meme, our famous gifts, and our famous reel.
Smash, smash, smash. Smash. The first
thing, gotta go with smash.
So like the first two were with the back of the fucking hatchet. The third one, for some reason, he felt like he needed to up the ante, and he turned it and fucking just cleavered him in the fucking head. The scar was very gnarly.
I mean, it worked really long.
No, it definitely worked. And I feel like I would have been okay at stepping off after the first time. Like, this nigga's hitting me in the head. Like, all right, we good.
Yeah, I think I'd have let go after the first blow. You hit me in the head with a hatchet, I'm going to stop doing whatever I'm doing.
The blunt part of a hatchet is like getting hit with the fucking broadside of the hammer.
Yeah, it still hurts.
You would think that would have been enough to incapacitate him. You think after the first one, he was like, "No, I'm gonna let her go," but I guess not.
He was.
And we can use that for later to fucking have the discussion of was something else in the weed.
Good question.
Okay, so. Boom, 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 straight out of Dogtown, right? So then that's when we see the interview. So Jessup, like we said, first time he's ever done like regular news. He does like sports. Yeah. And for some reason, Kai ends up only talking to him. So the interview that we see is the only interview that we got that day from Kai. He straight out told everybody else no, and then that was kind of it. And he was right. Let me see. Pencil.
So they play this, and like the guy that does the recordings, I guess, for the news is like normally posts little videos. They get
Jerry Woods. Jerry Woods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jerry's like, normally he said, I looked at it before I went to bed, 20-30 views. He was like, okay, great. He said, Jessup calls him the next morning. It's at 500,000 views.
Mm-hmm.
Overnight.
Mm-hmm. We're getting the auto tunes.
And remixes.
He's a hero.
Right.
And when, like, I want to marry him and, you know, all the crazy kooky stuff that people write under stuff.
So Life has to lock up that bitches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you did not see the video at the top of this, or if you're listening to this and not watching it, Kai is white. Like, I'm sorry. I just want to go ahead and preface this and tell y'all he's white. If you did not know this, this is a white
homeless. This is straight out of Dogtown, not give it away.
the only black Kais are girls.
So I was like, it's my daughter.
Right. We all knew Kai was white.
I'm just, some people are oblivious, and I just wanted to let them know that Kai is white before we get any further into this, because what is about to unfold is not black people shit in any way. So I just wanted to make sure we were all on the same page. I don't mean this in a prejudicial way. We just noted how the police are about things, and a black man as a hitchhiker could not be going around hatching people, and they'd be like, oh my God, he saved everybody.
He's such a hero.
No. It would have been a completely different documentary, and I just want to point that out up top. It's not, I'm not a racist. I'm just telling you ahead of time. Not prejudice. I'm just saying this would not be this documentary.
Not as you're giving this preface. I'm literally like listening to your preface, and I just went through the whole documentary in my head, and everything I'm seeing, I'm like, nope, a nigga would have been allowed to do that. You're right. You're so fucking right. This would have been like what happened when the black dude say those girls in Ohio. Remember they put that nigga whole rap sheet on the TV and shit? Like
For no reason.
Right. The psychic bitch told this girl's mama that she was dead. Remember the bitch used to be on Montel Jordan? I mean Montel Jordan.
Montel Jordan.
Anyway. Sylvia Brown told that lady that her daughter was dead. This black man say that girl and get her out that basement. All we knew is that nigga like filet of fish from McDonald's and his rap sheet. That was it.
Speaking of rap sheets, I was hella like in line in front of these like niggas that was trying to like boost at the fucking self-checkout. It did not go well.
I hope they got it.
Mm-hmm. How did you get caught boosting that self checkout? You gotta be really stupid.
I feel like, so I think where they went wrong is that she was trying to act like she was gonna buy something, and she was, so she got some like donuts and she started eating them. And then when she found out how much the donuts were, the lady came over and was like, "Well, you already eaten them."
Right. So
like they didn't move correctly.
Oh, okay. Well, I hate that. Like they should be better at that. That's
not if you're gonna steal, you gotta steal properly. Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah, that's terrible. Yeah. Like, I don't, exactly. Don't get me wrong. I completely advocate stealing from self checkout if that's your bag. I'm just, don't do it that
if
way.
That's your bag. Ring up an Apple Crisp as a Fiji. So what?
Do whatever you gotta do. I know somebody. I know a lady that was banned from Walmart. So hey, do what you need to do.
The reason Walmart no longer does the sticker thing. I knew somebody that would go and take shit back, and when they would put the sticker on it for it to be replaced, she would always put her thumb up. And so they would put the sticker on her thumb, and she would walk away. And so then she'd go somewhere else in the store and put that sticker like on a fucking TV box or some shit and get somebody to put that other shit on the carton roll, right?
That's how Miss Mama's got banned from Walmart. She was returning socks and putting the sticker on generators out of the garden center.
Let's go.
And that is why she is banned from Walmart. Absolutely.
And then Probably boosting the generators.
I think multiple, like not just that one, but she got banned from that one and then tried to like take the show on the road and got banned at some other Walmarts. But
okay. So then we meet Brian Mulkey he's a researcher for Jimmy Kimmel. And because this is like right after Kai goes viral, like again, overnight, literally. Right. And they're looking to get him for the show. And then at the same time, we're also introduced to Lisa Samsky, who is a reality TV brand manager, and she worked on shows like Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And they wanted to give the nigga that y'all saw in that first clip
the sporadically strange man a TV show.
A motherfucking TV show.
Mm-hmm.
All off of an interview where this nigga admits to trying to murder somebody.
Mm-hmm.
People got caught up in the fact that he saved the guy. He saved the lady.
Everybody got caught up in it. Justin got caught up in it. The other nigga got caught up. The cameraman got caught up in it.
Yeah.
Because and I think that it has a lot to do with how his first inspirational message before he got into the story.
Facts.
Yeah, that was really dope. I was like, oh, look at you.
Right.
Spreading positivity.
Mm-hmm.
And then shit was left.
Was he spreading positivity, or was that nigga just high?
Sometimes that's the same thing, Penrose.
Yeah, sometimes you want to like be positive. Like, doesn't getting high like doesn't that help you be more positive about the situation?
I should know. Anyway.
Exactly. Okay.
No. I mean, but then he went straight out of Dogtown to. From straight out of Dogtown. But when you do anything, make sure you do it. Like, hold on, brother.
Believe in yourself.
Out of Dogtown. 313. Put your hands up and follow me. Like,
they are looking for Kai. Everybody's looking for Kai. Everybody wants a piece of Kai. Kai ain't got shit but an email address. Kai ain't got shit but an email address. And so they are like, well, we know one person who talked to him. We gonna go through Jessup. So now they spamming Jessup email like Fashion Nova after Christmas.
hurry up and say 15% before my manager get back from lunch. What?
I know they said it was a hate crime, but it would be a hate crime for you not to get on these jeans. Logo 50% off on all our Fashion Nova brand jeans. Like, come on. They're the worst. My God.
RIP to take off, but our lingerie sale is going to have stuff to make you to take off. Like, what the fuck?
Like, what is going on? It's so bad. The messages are horrible. And then if you like go click on it to look at something, then you click out and they're like, hey babe, you forgot something, just like that man forgot his baby was in the car. Like it's like you forgot, say 50% now, and it's like,
oh my God.
Yeah, you know what? I do want to say 50%, but
and then you'd be like, you know what? Let me just close this one and see if there, see if another crime will happen, and they'll give me
70%. They'll give me a better, they'll give me a better deal.
Give me a better vibe, right?
Maybe it was a vibe check. See, you know, maybe no, it's just for that
Amber Alert. Search on these fucking two-piece fucking bathing suits.
Like, what? Barbara Walters died today at 98% off.
For real.
Buy one, get one, 98%. Yeah, they would do some shit like that. They're looking for Kai, like the sales. And Jessup finally is like, well, let's try to get in touch with him. And so he's emailing Kai. He's the only person that has the email. So he's the only person with access to Kai. He's emailing Kai.
That's the inside scoop.
Looking for him, you know, like, hey, everybody's looking for you. You have all these deals, all these people asking about you. You know, I want to be honest and talking to you about all of this, whatever. And so he's like, but, you know, before everybody makes you rich and famous, I want to get an interview with you. And so Kai's like, great, I'm in Stockton. And he's like, okay.
Right.
And his boss is like, do whatever the fuck you need to do. Get up there. Fucking... And find this dude.
He's like, look, I don't know if you have a wife and a baby, but get your ass the fuck up to Stockton. Like, you need to kiss your baby goodnight, put him in the car, put your wife in the trunk. I don't care. Get Stockton. He's like, I really don't care, but you need to be there to, like, get him. And so they get to Stockton, and they, like, see Kai, like, jaywalking or some shit, like, across the street to go get some cigs. And they're like, oh, like, shit,
he's a real homeless nigga. Like, he don't ever be in the same place. Like,
they was like, yeah, we'll get him a hotel room and put him up and talk to him real nice after he gets a bath and stuff and gets all dressed up like and he was like, nah, I'm gonna do homeless person shit. And so then they had to go catch him and, like, grab his ass out of the crosswalk and
literally.
Real shit.
And they didn't even take him to the hotel and give him a bath like Curly Sue. They just
took him to the park and did an interview.
Didn't he get him money? Oh no, that was something else. That was never mind.
No,
that
was Jimmy Kimmel.
That's Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah. Okay.
So then they do, like, a little B-roll, which they have him, like, playing guitar in this guitar shop, playing the B-roll, sing a little song, playing guitar. And they were like, yeah, and he was really good. And I'm like, see, I feel like your judgment's clouded here because
that's real man.
Like, not bad, but, like, not like RCA record deal talent, like the kind of talent you get, like if you go on America's Got Talent, like not.
Right. So I want to just point something out real quick. I feel like it might be important to say before we get too deep in this. One thing about Kai, and I think it's something else that people found very charismatic, and to the point where, again, the fact that he was carrying a hatchet is just, we're not gonna worry about that, is the fact that he would do stuff like go to grocery stores and steal a whole cart full of food. And then go take it to people that were homeless and needed it outside. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, things like that. And then we'll get into an incident with the Jimmy Kimmel episode or scene where he does too. He again does something very selfless, you know what I'm saying, that he really didn't fucking have to do. You know what I'm saying?
It's but very he does Robin Hood, and people appreciate that.
But
after
Robin Hood deeds, that nigga turns around and does some, like, Beavis and Butthead shit every single fucking time.
So, I mean, yeah. So Kai basically is telling these people he has no family. He's on his own. It's been that way. Anybody that knows him, you know, whatever, they think
he's there.
Right. So, like I said, yeah, he was playing the guitar in the place, and they was like, oh, he was just really good, and he had a song, and he had written it himself, and it was so good, and I'm just like, okay.
So then after the interview's over, they go and go eat.
Right. They like, we'll feed. Come, have food.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, yo, I got all these emails. Niggas is on your dick, bro. You have an opportunity to stop being homeless, like, right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could, like, change your whole fucking life. Here are the things that people are throwing at you. And he was like, what I would really like to do, though, is just, like, go to the Bay Area and just get mad high. I just want to smoke some weed. And they like,
and
what?
I was like,
you know what I said? The niggas from the Kardashians want to do a show about you.
Right and now.
He's like, well, I don't know. So he's like spinning this fucking, what was he spinning?
Golf pencil. It's a golf pencil.
A little tiny golf pencil. And he was like, spin it around. And however it spun, he was like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and go and smoke weed in the bay. So I want to hear it. Like, and that was it.
That was it. He did.
Oh, well, I wanted to show y'all just in case you needed a visual. So Kai had decisions. Richard, he could either be famous or he could go to the Bay Area and smoke weed.
We about to hold on. Oh, wrong person. You.
Vermeet. I'm still thirsty, by the way.
I told you. Yeah. So see, Kai had options. He could, you know, he could either be rich and famous or he go to the Bay Area and smoke weed. He spun the pencil and chose this one. But just in case you need like a visual of what he was doing.
You know what this reminds me of? Remember the book back in the day? If you want to follow the giant down the path, go to page 33.
You just want to go to the Bay Area and smoke weed, go to page 101.
I know that's right. Choose your own adventure, Kai. I know that's right. You better choose an adventure.
And he was out, and he did that for a second, and the Kardashian producer was like, what the fuck? Like, nigga, we will send you a whole limousine full of weed. Like, if you're trying to smoke, nigga, like, we have the smoke for you. Like,
right.
And he was like, for real?
But let's talk about, because I know we keep saying that these people wanted to give him a TV show, and I know y'all saw that interview, and you're like, do we want to give him a TV show, though? But what they were trying to do was they thought that Kai could give them, because Kai seemed like a person that was okay with being homeless, right? And they wanted to give the world a side of homelessness that people haven't seen, where people are happy and thriving or happy in whatever the fuck as homeless people.
I
don't know. Yes.
Kardashian show?
Yes.
No, this show.
Right. That's what not the Kardashian show, but the show.
Yes, his show. That was the premise. That's what it was going to be like. To like showcase like homeless people that are cool with being homeless.
No, here's the thing. It's very much influencer culture before there was such a thing, right? Because you have these people that are doing like van life. Oh, I just drive around in my van and I tricked out my old VW and I'm just on the road living this carefree life. Like, it's very much like gypsy nomadic lifestyle. And they're wanting to sanitize it to make people feel better about the fact that there are millions of homeless people who are not, in fact, happy about fucking being homeless.
Right.
Like, it was very, like, that part just kind of, like, pissed me off because it's very exploitative. Could you move?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I had a homie back in the day who, for real.
Like, I get it. Some people are fine with those circumstances. In his mind, he's smoking weed, traveling around, surfing, whatever. But which we'll find out later. So I'm not going to give that part away if you haven't seen this. But his idea of what homelessness is and people that are really in homelessness in a way that is them being impoverished and destitute and not wanting this for themselves, whether it be drugs or mental illness or whatever, is not the clean, sanitized version they were going to put on the air. So again, because he's white and he was like, oh, believe in your dreams before he went to smashing somebody in the head with a hatchet.
Hey, Vermeet,
it's palatable for white America.
Vermeet, can you put the rest of your head in the view of the camera?
Is that bothering
you? I don't know why
you?
That shit bothered me.
I'm so sorry.
And what was so funny is that the person that they thought Kai was, he wasn't, right?
Right.
No. Okay. So, let's see. Lisa,
they want him on Kimmel.
Yes. So, Lisa's like, we'll get you a fucking weed full of, a limousine full of weed. He's like, all right then, cool. And so, Jessup, before the TV stuff goes, Jessup really still wants, remember, this is the original interviewer.
Right.
He still really wants him to do Kimmel, right? Right. Like, it'll be a good opportunity. He wants him to do it. So Lisa's like, cool. And she decides that she's going to be the one to take him, right? Mostly because he don't have no ID, so he can't even get on no fucking kind of transportation. So a nigga got to actually put him in a car and drive him themselves.
They make you ID for Graham?
Girl, I don't know.
That's a good question.
I'm saying there's a lot of shady shit going on in the Greyhound. I didn't think they was making that you just buy a ticket and get on.
They just checked the ticket. It's a lot of shit going on. You're right.
I thought they just checked the ticket. I didn't think you had to have no ID to ride the Greyhound.
I can't remember. I really can't remember.
That's I say like so long ago. Last time I rode Greyhound, I was like 10, so I don't remember. But
right.
Yeah, they get in the car, which is crazy because I would have no, not myself. I'd maybe sent somebody else, but not myself personally.
Was Uber out? Was Uber out yet? Yeah, right. No, 2013.
I mean, I guess you could. I don't know. We're so far removed from there not being shit that I don't remember when the shit came to me.
Uber was just a dope ass word. But then again, Uber started in Cali, so it might have been out there.
Mm-hmm. But I'm saying, but like,
I guess they can pay a taxi to drive him from fucking Stockton to LA. So,
yeah.
So they go pick him up, and we meet JR, who I guess is like a talent. I didn't quite get what JR did.
Me neither.
He was a nigga that just wanted to be in the documentary. Just so happened to work.
I think he like works with Lisa or might be Lisa's boss or somebody to be like helping Lisa do, like, I don't know. Like, I get that he's one of those people that's like the show idea person and like you have to pitch the ideas to him. And he's like, nah, I don't think that'll work. He's that person, I think. So JR, honestly, realest person in the entire goddamn documentary. Absolutely. JR does not have any goddamn blinders on. He don't have no rose colored glasses. He straight out the gate. Well, when I met him, he smelled like alcohol. JR hit the goddamn screen running. Like, nope, he stunk, reeked of alcohol.
He even said when he first saw the video, because he didn't even know who the kid was. When he watched the video, he was like, y'all not concerned that this nigga
had a hatchet and just hit somebody? Hatchet
people or whatever, like.
And then this nigga just busting niggas in the head, and all of a sudden, somehow, I think about it. We all been fought somebody before. Some of us have hit people with certain things. Shit just don't slip over in your hand and turn a full 180.
No, that time I hit that lady deliberate. With my shoe, I had a firm grip on the shoe. I hit it with the same part every
time. You know what I mean? And when you hitting somebody with something, we all got that one hand motion shit where you can just twist it. Yeah, that nigga. Jay, you're right. JR probably was the smartest nigga because it's like, bro.
No, there are just some people that have a very good sense of people, right? And I think when you work in show business, you have to have that. You have to be able to tell that person has the it, the je ne sais quoi. And he just was like, no, he's a drunk. he's an erratic drunk. This is not going to work. JR knew. Yeah. Like, he just knew. Yeah, so, but again, he knew, but he was like, yeah, but we don't want anybody else to, like, film your drunk antics, so we need you to sign this contract on the dashboard with no, with no attorney present, so just sign this.
And he signs it in, like, symbols.
Which is insane, because, you know what, we'll talk about why that's slightly insane later.
Isn't he trying to see hieroglyphs? Like, the fuck?
He signed it like when your child is first learning to like draw things. Like you haven't taught them their name or any words, and they don't know letters, but they like just are scribbling shit on the, like when they draw you a picture, but they don't know how to spell anything yet. That's
the best motherfucking analogy, because this nigga's name is three letters, and that page was full.
it was like Egyptian hieroglyphics for like surfers. Like, it was very odd. It was like a 9-character block on there, and I was like, is it bird or like? It was a lot of letters.
This nigga was like, if Patrick Swayze's character in Point Break was a drug addict drunk, that would be.
It was a lot of symbols. So this is when shit gets crazy, right? So. They get to Hollywood. Lisa's like, let me go valet the car. She tells the other guy, whose name I didn't get.
Watch this dude. Oh, right. Isn't he the cameraman from Jessup still?
No, that's just funny.
No, it was some. Oh,
he might be their cameraman.
I thought it was Kimmel Homeboy, that the nigga that was like.
Was it him?
Yeah, somebody from Kimmel. She's like, here, just watch him. And they're on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, right? She goes to park the car, and he's like, well, he's a grown man. I wasn't going to watch him. And she was like, no, watch him. He didn't watch him close enough because he pulled his dick out and started peeing on the side of a hotel on Hollywood Boulevard. And he peed on Julio Iglesias' star.
Yeah.
which is terrible because Julio Iglesias made great music. Why is you mad at Enrique Daddy?
What are you saying to nobody?
Like, why is you mad at Enrique Daddy? He ain't did nothing.
Like that nigga did something to him in a past life or some shit.
Like pissing on, like you be Pedro Santana star. You ain't got to do that.
Like, damn you, Kai.
Right.
Okay, so
he's gonna see Maria no more.
So they need to get him to the Roosevelt Hotel. And the Roosevelt Hotel is a pretty fucking popular hotel in LA, right? Like, mm-hmm. It's where I would feel like most of, like, all the famous people you could probably think of on your, like, top of your head have probably stayed at the Roosevelt, right? Like,
everybody except Elisa Lam.
Oh, should've. Okay. Well, so they go in.
Look, you seen that gift and take off, and that nigga just like,
that's true. So, Kai, they go to the fucking, they get in the hotel room, nice hotel. This nigga goes straight for the mini bar. And it's interesting that they call it a mini bar.
Because it's not. Ain't nothing mini about the bar.
It was a full size bar because all of the bottles were full size. He grabs a bottle of Jack and starts drinking it like it's Coca-Cola. Like Fuller in Home Alone, just guzzling away, right?
Really used to drink a lot of Glock.
Fuller was a fucking
he just took me back.
He was like, I don't want to sleep with Fuller. He pees in the bed.
Fuller. Yeah, all right. Fuller had them big ass.
Daddy had the cup to his mouth. Like, you know what I'm talking about.
The whole time. Don't be in the bed. You can sit on the bed.
Just guzzling.
You can expect to pee in about 45 minutes.
Kai just, bless his heart, like a drunk. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So he done turned the jack up. He jumping on these people's beds and shit. And they're like, well, hey, we got to go do the thing. They're like, we're going to get some food. Instead of them ordering room service to contain, Eloise at the plaza upstairs. instead of them doing that. Thank
that was
you,
good.
Thank
that you. Was good.
Right.
instead of them doing that, they decided we'll take him out to piss on some more things.
And pissy did.
so he takes his skateboard down to the lobby and skateboard through these people's lobby, and they were just like, y'all gotta leave, and he can't come back in here and get your shit. They was like, this is a classy joint and he is not welcome,
right?
And so then he gets outside and tries to throw a knife into the ground,
and I don't even understand that,
right? Like,
what? Like, is that because he's angry?
That's what I'm saying. With so many people overlook shit. At this point, we're not even overlooking it for the hero story. These white folks is overlooking shit because they're trying to make money off this man at this point. Mm-hmm. A nigga, a couple days ago, weeks ago, just hit somebody in the head with a hatchet.
Mm-hmm. And if you're willing to ignore that, you're also willing to ignore the fact that he exposed himself in public, pissed on the side of a building, went upstairs, jumped on these people's shit,
drank a bottle of Jack,
replaced a bottle of Jack Daniels, came downstairs, and then tried to knife throw a fucking pocket knife into the concrete.
Come on. Right. Not even into some grass or some shit. Just like literally concrete. You're throwing a knife. Do we know where this nigga got this knife from? I don't think he had it with him.
You don't check this from a nigga that was wielding a fucking hatchet?
You think they wouldn't? You think before they got in the car, they would have been like, do you have any weapons?
Can we have them, please?
But again, because they were so blinded by this is a way for us to make money, they aren't doing the necessary things. Because even Lisa says, well, you know, I've been around celebrities and they do some crazy stuff, but none of them acted like this.
And yet...
nobody called him.
Something that I definitely.
And then her crazy ass decides it would be good for him to stay at her house.
That's exactly what I was about to talk about.
And Lisa lives alone.
Before we get there, so Kimmel, and he doesn't seem super excited to do Kimmel, but it's whatever, right? Mm-hmm. They pull up to Kimmel. Guess what this nigga do? Can anybody guess?
Anybody in the comments, can you guess what Kai did?
Can you guess what Kai did when he got to Jimmy Kimmel? Remember, he's done this one thing like three times already in the story.
And Kai is like your second child. If all of y'all that got multiple children, Kai's like that second kid. The one you love, but you know he's about to piss you off at least three times today. You can't
stop him from doing destructive things. Guys, he shows up to Jimmy Kimmel and pisses all over a Jimmy Kimmel poster, like with his name or like a fucking banner with his name on it and shit. Security guard comes over.
This shit looks like a fucking publicity stunt because you catch this nigga. This nigga is looking back at the fucking camera, smiling with the peace stream. Like you caught the live stream, like.
Like that Calvin and Hobbes sticker on fucking white people's trucks.
When he's peeing on everything, yeah.
Yes. So he's peeing on the thing. Security's like, yo, my nigga, you cannot do that. Like, please do not do that. So then he goes inside. Jimmy gives Kai an envelope with $500 in it. And in natural homeless Robin Hood, he hands it over to the security guard and goes, yo, my bad for pissing on that sign.
Keep in mind, this is not even the security guard's sign. This is Jimmy Kimmel. This is a sign that they got made at the Kinko's. The production company. Not even Jimmy. It's not even Jimmy Kimmel's sign. It's just the production company. When it got this made at the Kinko's. And he was like, hey, security guy. Here's $500 because I peed on a sign. It doesn't belong to you or anybody you're affiliated with or your employer. Love you so much. Mm-hmm. Sorry for the inconvenience of having somebody else have to come hose down the sign because you probably
because you ain't.
Where was Hector? What's the nigga name? What's this little Spanish nigga on Jimmy Kimmel that always be fucking with LeBron?
I don't know, but I know you're talking about.
What was that nigga during all this?
I don't know.
Guillermo, was that his name? Guillermo.
Where the fuck was you? I feel like Guillermo would have hung out with motherfuckers.
I've watched 5 episodes of Jimmy Kimmel. Amazing. Yes.
Proud of you.
Yay.
So then it's like a couple hours before the show, and the police show up, and Kai is taken into custody.
Which is crazy when you think about it, because they subpoenaed this man, and then they had to show, and they showed up there like it was a drug bust. Like they raided him, and the way they made it look is like seem like he like, because at that point I thought that the thing that we're gonna find out later is what they were coming to get him for, and I was like, see, they didn't talk about what happened. How are they arresting him? And then I realized it was because they had subpoenaed him to testify. But it's like
about the car shit.
But how you gonna subpoena him to test? Like you had to arrest him because he's homeless or what?
Because maybe they couldn't find this nigga. Like, and so when they
but that's not his fault. Like, if you subpoena a homeless man
because of a subpoena,
just like what is he supposed? How is he supposed to know you're looking for him? I guess would be.
And he's a vagrant, right? Like, just
how the fuck would he know that you're looking for him because you want to subpoena him to testify? Because assuming he gave you a statement, and if you took his statement and realized he was the only other person to corroborate the statement and you needed him to testify, why wouldn't you tell him, we need you to hang around the area?
Where'd you send this subpoena the first time? For you to be running up on me, that means I had to deny
multiple fucking notices.
They go like arrest him to get this statement, damn near. And he better than me because at the point you arrested me, I'd have been like, well, I don't care what the fuck happened. You can let me out of here.
Right.
Just off the strength that you came to Kimmel embarrassed me, bitch. I don't know nothing about nothing.
Right.
So
there's me in front of Jimmy Kimmel and Guillermo. Fuck that.
30 minutes before the show, they bring him back, and he goes on the show, and it's kind of a disaster.
It's kind of a train wreck. I didn't understand what was going on. Was he drinking that okra juice?
Is that what's happening?
He was drinking an okra juice.
I started to pull it up to play it, but it's just chaotic. Kimmel's doing a skit where he's picking up a homeless dude, and it's obviously Kai. And he's just trying to ask him about like the situation, but Kai is just like all over the fucking place. and he just says some really like outlandish stuff.
Something about being rich and fat, and Jimmy Kimmel was like, "Yeah, I'm one of those people."
You're sitting next to one of those people, like, but Jimmy did a really good job, like, corralling it. I will give him kudos for that.
Yeah, like, he really just kind of made it into still, like, something. But I guess he has experience with, like, people not wanting to answer questions or being kind of combative. I'm sure people are shown up drunk or high or whatever, so I'm sure this is not his first rodeo.
Not his first rodeo, right.
So... at the end, they give Kai like a surfboard and a wetsuit. And it's just like, I'm sure he has 1,000 surfboards and wetsuits, but whatever.
Right, because people were like literally trying to give him all that stuff when they saw his original, So.
And they're trying to get him to do like movie reviews. And this
so is yeah, they have to bring him back the next night, basically.
To do like these movie shorts. And so the guy is like basically saying he was like, they were saying they wanted to do a show. And he was like, it didn't make sense because he doesn't have the attention span for it. He was like, they went from watch this to watch a little of it to watch the trailer. And they just could not get him to sit still and focus long enough to watch anything. Mm-hmm. Didn't he say Zero Dark 30 was about them putting fluoride and chemicals in the water?
That's exactly what he said.
And I was like, you know, honestly, probably. Knowing this government, there probably is some Operation CIA Zero Dark 30 in the water.
Yo, they put fluoride in it. Yo, on the subject, y'all don't remember that little, they show those little packs. You know how you get like the 2 ounce bottle, but they sell them in like a 12 or 24 pack? And they used to, the package, it would be for kids. And it would have like kids playing soccer on it. And it
little water bottles.
Yeah, and it had pink writing on it. And it was purified water with fluoride. And I used to remember the fluoride
part.
I swear to God, I'm like, why the fuck are y'all giving this to your children? Fluoride's good for you. Nigga, you ain't never, your dentist has told you to spit every drop of toothpaste you never had in your motherfucking mouth. What do you mean? Fluoride good for you. You tell a nigga Hitler gave the Jews fluoride in the concentration camps, and niggas is like, our government would never. All right.
Okay. It's in the top water, I think, right? Don't they say it's in the top water?
A lot of it was leaked. You know, they were doing fucking experiments and blowing shit up in the 50s and 60s, and they were giving all these people's children cancer from fucking bombs, so they had to kind of level it out. So they were like, so... we can't, like, fix the cancer, but we can make sure all of their teeth don't fall out from the radiation.
But not just the fluoride fucks your brain up and makes you fucking, I almost said the R word, but, you know.
Racist?
Are you okay? Reporting. Well, I was just saying it. Oh, my God. Yeah, racist. That's fine. Fluoride makes you racist. Let's go.
Fluoride makes you racist.
Like Jada's mama read. Yeah, sure.
Now we're
in Fresno.
They make him testify, and he gets up there, and I guess his compelling testimony. He told him a story. It was a lot. Something about rape. The guy he says
he said that McBride and him smoked a joint. And then he said that the driver mentioned and so the driver said that Kai told him that he bet if they could drive through the truck that they ran.
Because they were ghosts. I guess. And they could drive through the truck and nobody would even know.
So I guess he did it.
Yeah, so there's ghost people, ghost truck, ghost car. Because smoking weed makes you a ghost.
That's fluoride makes you racist.
Yeah. So Jeff Jett said that I could do it totally. We're ghosts. So they tried to drive through the car. So he's saying basically this was not a racially motivated hate crime. He just was high and listened to a homeless hitchhiker tell him that he was a ghost and he could drive his car through another truck. I thought this was interesting because the officer, Jeff Stricker was like, oh, well, you know, he's not innocent in this. He has some culpability. And I was like, does he?
Does he, though?
Because this nigga sent a black person to a fucking car and tried to attack another person. So he could technically just say anything, right?
Right. Like, I was just like, yeah. Like, I was like, I don't know how culpable another a hitchhiker in your car is for you believing that you're a ghost. Like, people have bet me a lot of things, and I'm just like, no, thank you. I'm not going to take that. Like, why would you?
But we'll put a pin in that, because later on, we find out why he might have really thought that he was a ghost.
True.
Right? Okay.
Fair.
Ty also says during the trial that McBride told him that he raped a 14-year-old girl, and Kai tells Jake Jessup in that initial interview, remember that he did something similar where he like attacked he said there was a guy that attacked a lady and basically he smashed on him too, but with his hands, right?
Right.
Okay. And then let me see. So McBride, as far as like the trial happening, he got convicted of assault with a deadly weapon, and he got sentenced to 9 years in a mental facility.
Which leads me to believe that the Which leads me to believe that, like, you just had some weed. Like, we get, like, these statements from other purposes. Because we get these statements from other people saying that maybe he says that Kai is bragging and saying that the weed was, that he laced the weed with a bunch of shit.
Right.
And then, and so they're saying, well, maybe he was high on all these drugs because the joint was laced or whatever, and that's why he thought that. And it's like, but if that was the case, why would they sentence him to 9 years in a mental facility? He already was having some type of episode, and the weed made the episode.
Like, getting rid of all the minorities and shit, so.
Right. Yeah, like, the weed just enhanced whatever his thoughts were. Like, I don't think there was anything else going on with the weed except for that he didn't need to be smoking it. Right. And so we meet some singer,
Gabriel Francisco,
from what, some band, the Red Rose, some shit,
the Red Coats.
That's even worse than what I thought it was. Great.
It's pretty bad.
So the Red Coats? He's the Red Coats. Red Coats.
Oh, okay.
A Hispanic man is the lead singer
of the Red Coats.
Anybody else? I know y'all catch the irony.
Anybody see any problems with this?
That's why I thought it was the Red Rose, because the Red Coats didn't.
I rewound it because I was like,
the Red Coats didn't make sense.
That's like a white boy going.
It won't
make sense. A white boy going to his woke mother and being like, "Mom, we started a rap group called the Niggers," and she's like. Nobody in this Hispanic family was like, hey, you sure?
So Gabriel basically and his manager, the manager of the club where he's supposed to be doing these paid gigs, they basically all basically this whole part is them talking about how they thought Kai had bad vibes. They just thought the vibes are off. He was very braggy. He was telling them that he had laced the joint.
But they wanted him. They wanted him to perform because they wanted the following.
Right. This was the dude that was admitting that he was scared to stand on stage with the motherfucker and take the picture and everything, right?
But then took the picture.
Yeah.
And then took the picture.
Well, I was concerned about the fallout. This is the part where I admit this was a hard watch because it just felt like a bunch of people with that hindsight is 2020. Oh, he's a horrible person. I just knew from the moment I talked to him that there was something off, and I just knew it was bad vibes. And it's like, no, you didn't. You saw dollar signs because you saw a cutesy fucking news story that you thought you could make money off of. And now that has done what he's done, now this is what you have to say. But if none of this would have ever happened, you wouldn't have said shit about no bad vibes.
Right. Now, this also goes to show, this nigga was one of the biggest stories ever in the last 10, 15 years. But don't send somebody to do a job they're not designed to do. Jessup is a sports reporter, right? You sent the sport reporter.
He doesn't pick up bad vibes, nigga. He pick up bad fouls. Like,
right. That nigga didn't see what's that shit that Scott Van Pelt had bad beats or whatever. Like, that's all these niggas know. He's a sports guy, bro. Don't send this nigga out there to go do a real motherfucking, like, and then you send a sports guy to go do a traffic story. And most people, hey, what up, Tim? Most people would have stuck on the traffic story. Most people would have been like, yeah, somebody got like hit by a car, whatever. Dude got pinned, whatever. They would not have gone that deep into Kai's story. No, Jessup is like, bitch, it's Tuesday. I'm bored.
It's a slow news day, baseball, whatever. He was not interested.
Right.
So this is when we find out that Kai is in like New York. This is May now. Mm-hmm. And he posts this Mother's Day message where he was like, his family locked him in the room and he found out like this horrific child abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he told Jessup this as well. He tells Jessup that he was raped at 17 by some guy. And he saw a crow fly over him, and the crow whispered, "Get up and make your escape. Fight for your life." And so he does. And manages to get away from the person. And then Jessup proceeds to tell us, "Oh, well, you know, he told me all those things, but I couldn't put that on, you know, the news.
And the local news, like..."
See, I feel like you could have, because, you know, if it bleeds, it leads, right? Like, you could talk about people being murdered, but this man can't tell you about the horrific abuse that he suffered as a homeless person?
Right.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
I don't know. Like I said, everybody here is trying to make a buck, except for Kai, and they have some wild takes and some revisionist history going on to me, but okay. Then we find out that Kai's real name is Caleb.
Right.
And we meet the guy. I didn't catch the gentleman's name with the glasses.
It was a lot. It was Jeremy McGovery.
Right.
Well, yeah. My
first cousin.
My cousins, yeah.
Do you know who we also meet? Who do we also meet?
Kai's mammy.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
Remember when Kai had said that he didn't have no family, and they thought he was dead.
Mm-hmm. Well, he just said they're all
okay. Thank you. Okay, it was familiar. It could be very much so. I'll let that slide. I just thought he was high, but you're right.
Okay, y'all let him.
What?
Okay.
That's all. He said what? don't worry about it. It's okay.
Blanked out. Right. My bad.
It's okay. Don't worry about it.
Heroes is just pretty. Sometimes I. You know, this pretty face will.
It's all good.
His family never really knew him as Kai. They only called him Caleb. And his cousin was very young to be like,
"We I just caught it." Never mind, my bad.
Oh, okay. Yeah, his familiar.
I just caught it.
His cousin's very adamant to be like, "Well, like, we did care about him or whatever." And apparently, Kai's parents split when he was 4 years old. And you know, that just like shatters like white people. like divorce and like separation from parents, just it destroys white kids. I don't understand why. Anyway, so his cousin did confirm that Kai's mom would lock him in a room. And sometimes he said that she'd even try to lock him in a room. They didn't live in the same house apparently, but pretty close. And like the windows would be blacked out and stuff like that, right? And his mom sent him to like a boy's home at 13 after he tried to start a fire, or he started a fire, right? Caitlin, and then his fucking cousin says that he thinks that he's suffering from a mental illness. Do you guys think that Kai suffers from a mental illness?
Fuck yeah. And a lot of alcohol. Oh, we meant back then.
Mm-hmm. I mean, now,
which his mom kind of says that they, you know, and the mom, surely we meet her, and her, I guess, explanation for this is that she's saying that he was not abused, right? She's saying that he was doing shit that could hurt himself or others, and then he would be up early in the morning when he knew everybody else was asleep so that he could do the shit. And so she was locking the bedroom door so that he couldn't get out and do the shit before somebody was up to supervise him.
Because rebuttal that.
Now you're fine, man. Thank you for coming in. I don't know, y'all. Shirley was doing a lot of stuttering for me. I don't know how I feel.
Right. Because little cousin said, hey.
I never, little cousin was like, she tried to lock me in the fucking room.
Yeah, he said, we can hear the kids outside playing. What are you doing?
And so I think it is a combination of things, right? I think that there was some abuse and neglect there. I think that he probably was a lot to handle. And instead of her trying to get some type of help or assistance or something like that, she was locking him in the room because she couldn't handle him.
Right.
When you have an additional child over there and you can't handle either of them together and they're being chaotic, then she's trying to lock somebody else's kid in the goddamn room.
I don't even think they were really being chaotic. I mean, Caleb was probably on some fuck shit, but I think what he said was honest. Like, you talking about, because again, little cuz don't seem like he like crazy enough. So when Kyle was like, remember he said that his reasoning that he felt like he was locked up was so they could be out there fucking when they wanted to. They didn't have to deal with him. Now, I can see the mama's point. And we talking about a different, actually not really a different type of time. Yeah, I guess so, because Kai, how old is that dude now? He probably in his like
2000s.
When he was a kid?
I mean, when this was happening, like he got sent to a boys' home at 13. So,
I guess
we don't know how old.
Right, yeah, that's what I don't understand. Right, I don't know. So, what I was getting at was like, you know, there was some times like back in the 90s where you might go to somebody's house and be like, "Who the fuck is beating on all them doors in there?" And somebody got their kid locked up because the kids is crazy. That's you know that happened before. But I'm inclined to believe the kids over the mom, because you're right. Mom stuttered a lot.
She did stutter a hell of a lot.
And she laughed at some shit you're not supposed to laugh at, you know?
With the fact that they had him sent away at 13, right? But you're sitting here having this interview full well knowing that you just kind of gave your kids to the state, like, at 13.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And she's not really giving any type of explanation for that, which I'm not saying everybody has to explain their decisions to me, but you know, like, it's just, if you're gonna sit down and do the interview, which is something I really like get annoyed with in documentaries, if you're gonna sit down and give the interview, give the fucking interview, right? Like, it's too late now. You're not gonna get on here and half-ass me, because it's not gonna make you look better to sit here and say, "Oh no, none of that ever happened," when his first cousin is like, "Well, actually, yeah, it did." Then you don't explain none of your decisions. Like, sister, it's not.
They gave her two racks in the pocket.
And she does mention that she felt that generally Kai was too, or Caleb was too trusting. And she feels like a lot of times he ended up trusting the wrong people. I thought that was interesting that she said that. Right, but I think that even though I don't think she did a super great job at being a parent, I think that she still kind of cares about him.
Well, yeah, because she said she wrote him in prison.
Yeah, but he don't want to see her, which is probably because she was.
Which is why you can't believe shit she says.
What do I know? Anyway, so let's go back to the present. Let's go to New Jersey.
What you want me to do?
In May 13th, 2013, this is only 3 months after Kai went viral, right?
Mm-hmm.
They find 73-year-old Joseph Galfi, right?
Yeah, so Joseph Galfi is an attorney in New Jersey. And basically, his neighbor Bob gets a call from his law secretary or clerk. And she's like, "Hey, he was supposed to be in court. He is not here. That is unlike him. Could you go check?" So dude was like, "I'm just go, you know, that's my neighbor. I'm gonna go check on him." He goes over there. He sees that his newspapers from Sunday and Monday are still out on the porch. And they're saying that's unusual for him because he's somebody that keeps the routine. So if he had been home, the papers wouldn't have been on the stoop.
Mm-hmm.
Funny story. I have some neighbors who I did not see their cars or their children for like a week and a half. And I started to get concerned and almost called the police, but they're back now.
I was going to ask, is this just like a once we get older and kids about well-to-do shit? Because two newspapers were on his shit and it was like, do a wellness check. Remember the little, before we got, all right, y'all from the same area I'm from. Remember the little shits the niggas used to walk down the street and put on the little, on your grandma's, the little shit on the porch with the rubber band and the little sales paper? If 2-3 of those ended up on your grandma's porch, are we sending a motherfucking...
No, but I think it's more so that, like... Right, but I think it was a combination of things. It wasn't just the papers. Like, the papers were unusual. Oh, and
yeah, he hadn't showed up to work. He was supposed to be in court.
That was what it was. He's a lawyer, and he was doing court. So when he didn't show up to court and didn't answer anybody's calls, then they were like, well, something's off. But also, I think he subscribed to the New York Times, and that's a paid subscription. They don't just drop that off. That's what it was like, nah, he would, it wouldn't be there.
Money over here.
Right, he would have gotten it and read it. So that's why they were like, something is off here. I think it was more of a routine being broken than it was the actual papers. But anyway, they go in there, he's dead. Dead as doorknob. Yeah, he was dead.
In the master bedroom. No forced entry. The house has not been ransacked or like robbed.
Nope.
Right.
But they did find his computer, and he had a little notey note on there that said Lawrence Kai. Mm-hmm. And then they see a train ticket, and they was like, okay, we're gonna do a little detective work. We're gonna go to the train station, see what's going on. And they catch him on video, and he is there buying a train ticket with Kai. Hi, Caleb. And so they're like, well, we got to find him. So then they realize, oh, shit, it's
Mother's Day, right?
Yeah, he bought the ticket on Mother's Day. Yeah.
So then they realize, oh, shit, that's the dude from the video. So they call up the Fresno back to the first officer, Stricker, and they're like, hey, remember that guy that y'all had out there, the homeless one? We think he did a murder. Could you send us everything you have on him?
Right.
And they were like, you mean Kai?
You talking about
the one with the hatchet?
Straight out of Dogtown?
Jimmy Kimmel Kai?
Right. Talking about Pissarister? That guy?
No, not that guy.
That guy.
What's the Cat Williams special? Murder? Who did he murder?
They really tried to call the phone number and the phone was dead. So then that's when they released the info to the public as well as reaching out to the other police department. And then that's when Jessup is like, let me reach out to my homie. Let's figure out what's happening. But he didn't really answer at first, right?
Right.
Or at all. Did he answer at all?
No. I don't think he answered at all.
Okay. So then an arrest warrant was issued by New Jersey Police Department. They consider him armed and dangerous. This is May 13th. Right, it's pretty fair. May 14, 2013, Kai posted another Facebook status. And this one was basically on some like...
What would you do if your child was at home?
Get in a dog town.
I'm crying on the bathroom floor because she's hungry.
The only way to feed her is to put a man for a little bit
of money. Yeah, that's what it was. It was big. It's big. What would you do?
His motherfucking daddy is gone. His daddy's gone. He's still on lockdown.
Or somewhere smoking rocks now.
Gotta put the Catchy Remix beat over it, you know. What would you hold up? You know, you gotta. you know, got it needs a catchy tone, so you forget that it's sad and you can play it in the club. But there was no club for Kai. They was looking for him, but he was posting vigilante pedophile articles about if somebody touches you, should you go back and stab them in the forehead?
More specifically, it was like, what happens if you woke up in a stranger's home with a metallic taste in your mouth
and trickling down your face? It was very, very graphic.
Very, very graphic. What would you do, basically?
Now,
a lot of the comments, niggas is like, smash, smash, smash.
Nobody was applying for help and wasn't nobody helping. And I was sitting there looking at it and I was like, well, if you take the stranger part out, I was like, you know, if you remove the stranger part, I might be. Sounds like some stuff I have maybe done, but not the stranger shit. And I was like, okay, never mind.
I'm not a victim blamer. But Kai, how many times you gonna end up in the exact same hypothetical situation?
Right.
I'm glad you noticed.
Right, he did come back in a hat.
Different robe and everything. We outside.
So let's go back to Mother's Day. Kai was supposed to meet a fan from Facebook that day.
He was.
Basically, he flaked out on her until about 9 p.m. or something, right?
Right.
And then at that point, he starts to call her frantically, blowing her up, calling, texting, asking to be picked up. Like, and apparently whatever happened, when he flaked on her originally, she didn't answer the phone for whatever reason.
No, remember, no, she was trying to hang out with him, and he asked how long it was going to be.
And she said another couple hours.
And so he dipped and did something else. So he flaked on her. Mm-hmm. And then once he decided he was done doing whatever he was doing, the calls became very, very, very frantic.
Right. Our co-host. Moving the camera and shit.
What do you want?
So, didn't happen. He made his way to Ashbury Park the next day to meet with this girl, took pictures and everything, and he looks so different, right? Now, we saw earlier before we see earlier that he got a tattoo on, like, kind of on half on his face, half on his neck, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because everybody was giving him shit, right? He could go everywhere, people was hugging him, giving him drinks, giving him food, giving him tattoos, like, basically, like, his face was currency. Like, he could go anywhere and just hug people and take pictures, and they would, like, give him shit.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So now that blonde, like beachy blonde hair is gone. It's dyed all black. It was shoulder length or something. It's cut now. Real, I kill somebody and I'm trying to not look like I used to look.
It's giving incognito, definitely.
It is giving incognito. So let's see. So she takes the pictures with him or whatever, but he looked different as fuck. Like, and let's see. Okay, so now he got caught in Philly, right? And this was maybe a couple of days later, on the 16th of right. May. He gets caught at Starbucks because an employee recognized him and called 911. And they capture him at a bus station because, you know, the boy is always on the move.
On the move.
Right.
Okay, then we get into the interrogation. Why do people just be talking?
So PSA,
especially when you know you did something. Listen, I don't recommend talking innocent or guilty without a lawyer present. I do not recommend.
That was the PSA. We don't typically reflect the views of anything, anybody except for ourselves. But I will say this for the two of them collectively. For anybody out there, I do not care who the fuck you are. I don't care if you killed 70 motherfucking people and the cops apprehend you with the knife in your hand and the cops walk up and say, hey, what are you doing? And you juke it in there a couple more times while you say nothing. It does not fucking matter. When they take you to the police station, you say, I want a lawyer. That is it. Do not talk to the police about anything, because whatever you say, they will twist it or cut the parts out or whatever the fuck they want to do. And now you got to hope that your lawyer catches a goddamn Brady violation to keep your ass out of jail. No, right. Do not talk to them about a motherfucking thing. Make them do some fucking work and prove the goddamn case.
What did that lawyer say?
The burden is on them.
What did that lawyer say?
The burden is on the state to prove you did something. Don't give them any evidence. Do not talk to the fucking police. I don't care if you are innocent.
The lawyer in Don't Talk on the Phone said, or Don't Pick Up the Phone, what did he say? He said, 9 times out of 10, the story the police tell is not what the fuck happened.
At all.
So, like, yeah, don't say shit.
I mean, he did it, but you don't say nothing. I mean,
but don't say nothing. Again, the burden of fucking proof is on the prosecution.
You want to say.
That's on them. So, if you don't say shit, they can't use nothing that you said as a way to fucking help prosecute you.
Also, don't take any lie detector tests. They're not admissible.
Oh, because you can't even use that shit. So, don't even do that.
Don't take that. And sorry, I just had to make that aside. I don't care what you did. Just like he said, I don't care who you are.
Of the night.
Yeah, you know, because Kai said at the beginning, you know, it doesn't matter your past or what you did. You deserve, you know, to be treated as just a person.
Ask for a lawyer.
Yeah, you deserve to have a lawyer present all the time. Does not matter who you are or what you did. There you go. So the story Kai tells is basically that he was defending himself. Kai says that basically this gentleman sexually assaulted him, and he was like, and started trying to beat him up, and he was like, nope, not doing that. And so he starts beating the guy up back and beats him to death, I guess, is his version of events.
After he tells the people, though, that didn't he tell him that dude tried to rape him? Like, that story that he told him in the interrogation room was, like, way weird.
He goes, Kai says that him and the victim met in New York City. And he was asking where Kai was headed. He said New Jersey. He was like, cool, I'll take you there. Apparently, they made a decision that he was going to stay at his house. They got food. They ordered food. They started drinking. They were drinking beer. Kai wanted, the victim wanted the beers poured into a glass, right, instead of just straight out the bottle. A nigga like Kai don't understand that, right? But also, could he have been roofing him? I don't know.
I mean, I've been roofied before. It's not a sexy feeling.
Okay.
I never told you that story.
Please, Sam. So he puts the beer in the glass. Kai's drinking. He's like, oh, I think I'm gonna go ahead and lay it down. He goes to lay down. Next morning, that's when we get that Facebook post. Basically, what would you do if you woke up in a stranger's house, metallic taste in your mouth, cum dripping from your face, and somebody blew a load in me? That's basically what he said, right?
Yeah.
Time out. I used to love being on Twitter every single motherfucking day.
Okay.
But there's times when things happen, and Twitter just ain't that important. You mean to tell me? There's cum dripping down your face. You are unaware how it got there. There's a metallic taste in your mouth, meaning you feel like you got roofied. And the first thing you do is go to Twitter and be like, hey, y'all, what would you do?
First of all, Facebook, whole different situation. Facebook. Second of all, The craziest part of this and why they believe that this is not self-defense is they bring this up, right? So they see him on camera at the train station on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Kai tells the police that the assault happened Saturday. Based on his timeline of events, he is saying that this man sexually assaulted him. He woke up in his home, left after all of this transpired, decided to go back, meet him at the train station. They hugged and he left and then decided, oh, I don't have a place to stay. Let me go back to your house.
And he went back to the victim's house.
To kill him.
After he said that he was pretty sure that he was sexually assaulted.
After he had gotten the fuck away.
Now he tells the cops that he hit him with his hands. But Kai has no defensive marks.
Nope.
True.
At that point,
he hand slapped that nigga. He was lying.
Right. Now, and also some point during the interview, Kai interrupts in his story to ask if he was really being charged with first degree murder. And they were like, yeah, my guy, you are. And then he says a little bit more. You know, this is okay. So after he brings that up, that's when he goes and says, like, oh, I went back to his house or whatever. That's when shit kind of went wrong. He was like, let me ask for a lawyer. And they were basically like, he wanted to ask more questions. And they were like, nah, bro, you said you want a lawyer. So we're done talking.
Yeah, let's talk about, right?
Yeah. So he has no defensive wounds and the autopsy came back, right? And the autopsy doesn't show anything that looks like he was the attacker.
No, it looks like he stomped that man to death, frankly, is what the inmate says. Looks like he stomped him out. He fractured his orbital bones in his eyes. And like the detective is saying, your eye sockets, basically the orbital bones here in your like cheeks and your eyes are, yeah, very much the strongest bones in your body aside from like your femurs. So you have to be putting some serious force into hitting somebody to break those or mush that in. So a lot of times that's when you have hit somebody with something or their face was pressed up against something, and then the pressure from whatever you did is pressing on that, which is why they said that it seemed as if he had stomped on him. Yes, I'm still not giving you a treat. Thank you so much.
Is it bad that I heard a stomp and I immediately thought of Kirk Franklin?
This is not that stomp. That's not, there was no people. It was one dead man. It was no people.
Jessup then mentions a Facebook post that Kai posted 2.5 weeks before this happened. And it was a Huffington Post article that asked, is vigilante pedophile hunting a good idea? And he just kind of said, you decide for you, I'm going to decide for me. And when they arrested him, he had printed pages of sexual predators on him.
So he was going to be the hatchet wielding predator Batman?
We're missing everything.
Oh, I mean, we'll say. So, I mean, we're kind of at the end at this point. Look, I love how she's like staring into your eyes.
Right, that's the bitch I'm playing. Look, like, listen now.
Right, bitch, I didn't
sit your hand.
It's like, you taught me this trick, and now you're embarrassing me in front of my friends.
Right. You gonna act like this? We ain't been on the air in a while. You teach me new trick. I'm trying to show the world, and I can't get a treat. Yes,
April. He basically did that. Like, we're talking about like all of like this part was stomped out. Like parts of his face were stomped out. He stomped that dude out.
Yo, for anybody who's never seen American History X. It ain't a lot of shit that made me cringe in the movie.
That was a lot.
Thank you. Get down.
I watched that movie in A School and in Haven. That nigga got curved. When he got curved, everybody that was sitting there watching that shit was like, oh my God. And this one nigga just bust out. I said, oh.
I'll stay away from him. He done did that shit before.
Nah, I made that nigga my friend because I was like, shit, I don't want to have to worry about being your enemy. Fuck that shit.
About you stomping me out.
Ironically, a nigga that crazy, his nickname was Teapot, of all names, right? Really fucking
what?
His name was Tyrell Potter.
So oh, Teapot. Okay, Teapot. I like it. Okay, so we're basically at the end because Caleb was clearly found guilty.
Right.
The judge said that he was a powder keg of rage and a cold-blooded callous killer. He received 57 years in max security prison.
Right.
He's had an appeal. They've denied it. He's continuing to try to appeal. I don't know that he's going to be successful.
He's not.
Remember how...
Unless he can prove ineffective counsel, but unfortunately, you can't really prove that your counsel is ineffective when you confess to the police.
What's the whole story?
That's difficult. So I don't know what he's expecting to have happen.
Remember when Suge said you don't want somebody dancing all in your videos.
Mm-hmm.
You want somebody, Caleb, your ass would have just took the Kardashian show.
even if they would have only like been able to film one show, like
right, you would not be in jail right now.
It seems to me like he is either on the spectrum or has ADHD because the mom says that they got him tested but could never really come to any type of consensus about what was wrong. But judging by like his age, because they were calling him a kid, right? When this happened in 2013, but he wasn't like a teenager. I think they were saying maybe he was like 19, 20, maybe 21. Give or take. I'm gonna say 21 because he was buying drinks and smelling like alcohol. So assuming that maybe he purchased one of these drinks.
21, 22, yeah.
I'm going to say he's a kid, basically, but not like a teen. So, I mean, reasonably speaking, that, you know, that was shit, 10 years ago? He's 30 now. Mm-hmm. I mean, they didn't really diagnose you with shit like they did, but...
but back then, everybody, it was all ADHD. You not before ADHD, remember it was ADD. That's what everybody supposedly had. You had ADD, and then you, if you didn't want to say you had ADD, then it was just life. So you're right. That kid, he probably could have had, he could have been schizophrenic. He could have been anything. But right, motherfuckers is not, wasn't diagnosing shit the right way. Or diagnosing shit at all.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that there, you know, I think that the mom really was doing whatever the fuck she was doing. He, you know, got sent to a fucking home like he didn't have any fucking parents at 13. And then he, you know, like that's a lot to deal with. So I'm not excusing the behavior, because certainly you didn't have to murder a dude, but
my bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, yeah, if maybe someone would have paid him, you know, like 5 more minutes of attention growing up, like none of this, we wouldn't be sitting here having this conversation.
Yo, this shit reminds me of, remember the Rob Zombie version of fucking Halloween? And the, and the kid walked, like, that's what I see when I think of Caleb. Like, you're right, somebody gave their little kid a little bit more attention. The story could have, we could be doing a whole different documentary right now, discussing a whole different documentary. Had moms just not locked him in that room
for the rise and fall of Kai and how he like became a reality TV
within 3 months. Y'all, all this happened within 3 months. Like, that's super important for y'all to like really grasp. Like,
that's the real remix.
Very fast.
Like, that's crazy. He went from obscurity to like
to prison for life, as
to Kimmel to prison in 3 months. Like, that's wild. If he like really, if he hadn't even gotten in that man's car, like
yeah, right.
That's quicker than the transfer portal in college, goddamn it.
Because really, when you think about it, right? Like, they pulled the film from the like the transit place or whatever, but he don't have no credit cards or an ID, so somebody bought the ticket for him, and so if he was never famous, like, he'd have just been a murdering ass transient. Like, no one would have known who the fuck he was or where to pick him up from. And it just would have been an unsolved murder. Like, let's be real.
Real shit.
Exactly.
Real
shit. But y'all, that is the hatchet wielding hitchhiker. It's on Netflix, fairly new. So please.
It's not a long watch. Like, we talked about a bunch of shit and went on a tangent, but it's really not. It's like an hour, a little over an hour. Yeah, and also, like, it's a pretty short watch.
Also, if this is your first time at All Docked Up, if you don't know that we talk forever, then that's your
fault. Yeah. Yeah. So thank you guys for coming back to chill with us. I think we're going to just start doing other new stuff. So, Penrose, do you want to plug anything that you're doing right now?
Oh, doing a fucking lot, man. First of all.
No.
Penrose versus Anybody is coming back in 2 weeks.
Cool.
So, yeah, that'll be back. Limelight Vibes every Wednesday in the DMV area, well, in Woodbridge at Clear Brook Center of the Arts. We do our own open mic showcase every single Wednesday. Every other Wednesday, it is a headline showcase. But every Wednesday, it is a show. I show my ass every Wednesday. I'm, you know, my name is Penrose, and I'm dope as fuck. Also, okay, fuck you too, Chris. Also, I do this amazing podcast with you two ladies. Well, we don't know where the other one went. What else am I doing right now?
Stuff.
The network. I got two networks popping off, and yeah,
I'm back. Sorry, I just like choked to death right now. We're all good.
That's what she said. So yeah, that's what I got going on, man. Trying to make Tuesday as always. Yeah, so yeah, Limelight Vibes every Wednesday. Penrose versus Anybody is coming back. Of course, Protest and Riot. What I do with my homie Nelson on YCC Network. Shout out to D Murph, shout out to Big Roy, shout out to Baylor. There's always some things coming in that crew. And yeah, like I said, I do the podcast here with these two beautiful ladies. And shit, I'm pretty sure that's all I do.
All right. DJ, tell us about your latest episode and what else you got going on. So you can give me a fucking treat.
Yeah. She said assaults. Assaults are happening because there were no treats. She likes squeaky shit. Sorry. So yeah, I have a dog. That's what I have going on. I have dogs. Yeah, so at a birthday, that was a thing.
Yeah,
that was
a birthday, right?
At a birthday. Murder V Road is back. There's an episode out now. I covered the disappearance and murder of Mike Williams, which is a very interesting case. All right, I thought it was interesting. You may not think it was interesting, but I did. So that's
episode, so she can do what she wants.
Yeah, so that was really it. I'm just doing that, and then we're back. So that is it. That is not it. I'm still hawking cups at people.
Thank you.
I'm still hawking cups. Yeah, so Valentine stuff. I like to drink out of my own cups, so that one is a cup, which is very cute.
Aww, cute,
whole cups, hot cups, mugs, huh?
You still doing scents?
Yep.
But I need
Carson,
Oh my god. I cannot wait.
Chris requested a very special car, Cincy, so that'll be out shortly.
Yo, what is,
Okay.
So yeah, things. Like I sell car air fresheners and wax melts, and then in 2 weeks in time for February, I will have massage candles. So they melt and you can use them as massage oil. So I'll have that going. So you can use that with the ones you love and you think are special, or you can just use it with somebody that you have good sex with, because I don't judge.
I used to use real candles and somebody in the chat. You gotta stop that.
You up here like, don't be
your listeners. He does not have to stop because somebody is into that, and that's okay.
No, so I'm into that, but somebody in the chat was like, yo, you're not using that on me, blood. I'm like, you
gotta. She's simply not the girl for you. Thank you. she's simply not the gal for you.
Oh no, I'm still take the regular wax, but
just get somebody else. You know what? Fuck it. I'm selling fucking massage oil candles. You know what?
Somebody else will do it.
And then sometimes I also sell wax melts. So if you want to pour wax melts on your partner, that's not my business. That's not their intended use, but you can do it.
Can you imagine somebody pouring gray sweats all over a bitch?
No, don't do it. Don't tell me, and I don't need to be involved, because disclaimer on the fucking package says that you shouldn't do that and you shouldn't eat it, and that's really all I have.
Thank you, we appreciate it.
Thank you. So don't eat them.
We'll see you next time.
I sell things. If you want a custom, you can DM me on Instagram or on Twitter. Sports cups. Valentine cups. There's cups everywhere. God bless you. And then I'll have a new cup next time we record. Because cool. There's always a cup. And then I'll have some t-shirts and some hoodies for Valentine's Day as well. So thanks.
I love all this. Okay. And then I guess you guys can catch Shenanigans with Friends every Wednesday. This is back. You guys can catch 420 in Vegas every Monday. KOD bartending. I have a lot of stuff in the works, so just check my link and that's how you'll catch up.
Yes, because she won't make these nails so I can give her my money.
Yes, I'm like very serious about this. Like, I spend so much time on them, and I might as well. Literally, every time I'm out, so many people compliment them. So right. It makes sense. All right, so guys, this has been All Docked Up. I'm Chris, that's VJ, and that's Penrose. And we'll see you guys next time.
Bye. Stay golden, bitches.
Stay golden.